Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, November the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We are in the home, we're beyond the home stretch. We're bearing down on the finish line of our great Gospels series. 89 chapters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 89 days. And it's been good. You're wondering what I'm going to say. Me too. It's been challenging. It's been good. It's been deep. It's been a blessing. And today I'm going to put a PS there, and I'm going to invite you, if you would, to take a few minutes. I'm just going to make a very short survey asking you to ring in, to bear witness to what Jesus has done in your life through this series, okay? It'll help us to know that we're making a difference. It'll help us to share the wake-up call with others. I'm going to also ask you that. That's the first question is, what's Jesus doing in your life and faith, your family, your anything you want to share about how he's blessing you and what's happened through this series? Second thing I'm going to ask you is, would you give a good word about the wake-up call? Because we're trying to share this with more people. We're trying to see the tribe of Jesus disciples grow in the world, and we'll share. If it's kind of like, you know, an endorsement, okay, I guess is what I'm asking you for. Just would you give us like your texture, your flavor of saying why you read the wake-up call and why others maybe should consider it. Okay, well, listen, let's dive in now. Thanks for hearing that from me here at the top today. That'll be in the PS. Let's begin with consecration this morning, as always. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's entry is entitled The Difference Between Respectable and Respect. Our chapter today is John chapter 19. You're reading it all. Our focus text is verses 38 to 41. Hear now the word of the Lord. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We don't know a lot about Joseph of Arimathea, but we tend to like him. I wonder, though, Would we like him if he hadn't shown up at the cross and taken care of the body of Jesus? It seems up to that point, Joseph had a lot of want to when it came to doing the right thing. But he had a lot more need for when it came to being recognized for doing the respectable thing. Joseph, like so many men and women, was more interested in being respectable than actually being respected. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. It's interesting how living in fear of other people creates this condition. We conform to the expectations of others in order to maintain our respectability with them. We don't respect them, we fear them. And the truth is, they don't respect us either. Meanwhile, we live in the shared self-deception of respectability. One doesn't receive respect from working to be respected. One gets respectability. Truth be told, we don't really know too many Peter, James, and John characters. We know tons of Joseph and Nicodemus types. They run our towns, our local governments, and our civic organizations. They usher at church, teach Sunday school, and generally do what is expected of them. We are good, God-fearing, respectable people. Our respectability gives us access to both the chief priest and the chief justice. We are as at home in the Chamber of Commerce as we are in the church. And all of this can be quite good. I'm trying to point out a critical distinction between crowd-level churchmanship and courage-based discipleship. The difference is respectability versus real respect. We will never stop talking about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, not because of their high standing in the community, but because they stepped out of the shadows of their secret discipleship and comfortable reputations and did something courageous. This was not a self-interested act of community service. They had no notion of any impending resurrection because they broke ranks with respectable religion and associated themselves with a crucified and dead Messiah. They will live in the eternal respect of the risen Lord, and ours too. Man, that's good. That's a good line right there. The difference between respectability and respect. I live too much of my life going for respectability, trying to do things that would earn the respect of others, and never works. You know what gets respect? Courage. You know what gets respect? Faith. You know what gets respect? Love. Doing the right thing, doing the hard thing, taking a gracious and bold stand. That's where respect comes from. I know that's who you want to be too. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who walked into the world of respectable religion and called us to follow him into courageous discipleship. Awaken us to this opportunity and let us never look back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts today. I know you. Let's journal, guys. Let's go all the way. Let's journal. Why is respectability so seductive? What's the difference between wearing your religion on your sleeve and being publicly associated with Jesus? What do you think of this distinction between respectability and respect? What are we afraid of? Well, I'm going to hand it over now to our favorite worship leader, my dad. He's with us today, and he's going to lead us. Hang on, before I do, though, I want to refer you down to our PS today. Just check that out. I'm sharing with you some good stuff there. Sermon on the Mount cards for one, and Christmas, and just getting God's word out of its bindings into our lives. So here we go. All right, everybody, we're back. It's Wednesday, of course, and it's another good day to sing a great hymn. And I thought about this one today. Kind of, it's been a journey, and we've come all the way, and we got a long way to go even after this. But tell them what we're singing today.
We're going to sing an old one called "All the Way My Savior Leads Me."
And what's the number?
It's 150.
That's 150. I don't think I've pointed this out to y'all, but Dad is singing in our large print version of our grade.
Wonder why he's doing that. Because he's how old?
Y'all know he just turned 85.
85, brother.
He's got the large print edition of our Great Redeemer's Praise. We'd love for anybody out there that'd like to have one of those. There's a link in the email today.
I suggest you get it if you don't see real well.
And you can see also there's this beautiful little light right here that one of our great sewers sent to Dad, because he saw me using my phone with the flashlight.
Yep.
That's thoughtful, isn't it?
That's very thoughtful.
So thank you for that.
Now, who did that?
Well, I don't, you know what? They were surprised. They just sent it through Amazon, and they said something like, a servant of God who loves you.
Well, a servant of God, thank you. You're a good man.
Probably a good woman.
And a good woman.
Because
all the way my Savior leads me, and that's the only way we can get it. We got to know the words.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see.
gushing from the rock before me. Lo, a spring of joy I see.
Last verse.
All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings in flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
That's a good one right there.
That is.
That's one of my favorite closing lines in any hymn.
Yeah.
This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. That's what we're doing here on the Wake Up Call. Day in and day out, he's leading us, and we're doing our best to follow him.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's time now to turn towards the fields and get ready to go gospeling out in the fields today, sowing for
Amen.
A great awakening.
Amen.
So, we're going to be seeing family this week. We're going to maybe be seeing family we want to see. And you know what? In some cases, we may be seeing family we may not want to see. But they're not going to know that because you're going to love them anyway, aren't you?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So, anyway, get your seeds. We'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
See you on the field.